This is Fresh Air. My guest, Barry Primus, co-wrote and directed the new movie Mistress, a satire about making movies. Primus had the good fortune of having his movie produced by Robert De Niro, who's also featured in the film. The main character in Mistress isn't nearly as lucky. Mistress is about a filmmaker trying to get financial backers for his movie about an uncompromising painter who commits suicide. With the help of a washed-up producer, the filmmaker meets with three potential backers, played by Robert De Niro, Eli Wallach, and Danny Aiello. Each knows nothing about movies. One sells antique clocks, one plays the horses, and the other is a corporate raider. Each of them wants to make the movie for the same reason. They each have a mistress who wants a part in it. In this scene, Robert De Niro, at a lunch meeting, explains that if he backs the movie, it's gonna need more sex.
Isn't your film about self-destruction? Well, sex is a form of self-destruction, and as the photographer becomes more disturbed, his sexual obsessions begin to dominate and destroy his life.
Photographer?
I changed the painter into a photographer. It's much more contemporary. He should be photographing nude women. His art and his sexuality should be forever fighting and chained together, distorting each other's emotions, and just that's the way I see it.
Great idea.
Were you ever in the position of the filmmaker in this movie? In other words, in the awful predicament of having a movie that you desperately want to make, but the only way to make it is to completely sell it out.
No, I was never in that position. I was in a position where I had wanted to make a film, and it was a tough film to make, and I had been walking around with it for about 5 years. And I met a young fellow, a wonderful young fellow, who suggested that I make the film in his school, teach a course, and the course would be that I'd make this film. And we hooked up with a producer who we both knew, and he took us around to several meetings, and several guys suggested to me that maybe they could put their girlfriends in it. And I entertained the idea, actually, of putting one of the young women in the film, because fortunately for me, Terry, the film was about acting, and this young lady wanted to act, and I thought, well, maybe I can do a kind of like, something very like Cassavetes might do, take somebody very real and make something. And it actually intrigued me. At first, I was outraged. I thought, well, you know, this is going to be these meetings with cigar-smoking guys and they're bimbos. And I was very condescending about it. And I went into these meetings, and I found them kind of... I found these guys charming, infuriating, funny, dramatic. Each one had to tell me their story and make sure they knew that they weren't going to be taken for a ride by this Hollywood hotshot, which they assumed I might be or was. And some of them wanted to do it to impress their girlfriends. I never knew whether they had money or not, really. But they always bought me dinner, and they bought it in different restaurants, which was very funny. And so the answer to your question is no, I was never desperate enough. What happened is that this guy, I said, well, I'll write a part for her and let's see what could happen. And I wrote this part because it actually would work in the script. But then he said to me, no, she has to play the lead. And at that point I said, no, that's impossible. You know?
When you were meeting all these businessmen who were thinking of backing the movie that you wanted to make, did you have any idea of why they were thinking of getting into movies? Why they would entertain the idea of investing in a film?
Oh, sure. They were unlike the, quote, players, you know, who are these guys, you know, who work in studios and things. Some of them were, you know, very bright. Some of them talented. But these guys were guys who really were ready to risk their money. And they wanted something in return, which was to put their girlfriend in a movie or whatever. And they wanted to be in the movies because why everybody wants to be in the movies. You know, they wanted a piece of the glamour.
In your movie, every potential backer who the filmmaker meets hasn't read the script.
Right.
Did that happen to you? That people were interested in investing a movie that they hadn't even read?
Well, they went through it, you know, as the character says, Eli Wallach. Well, I looked through it. It looks professional. And my girlfriend likes it, you know. I mean, they didn't know anything about reading a script. It takes a certain eye to read a script. I think basically the girls, the women read the script, but not the guys. Yeah. So that put me in a position many times to explain the whole movie during lunch.
Now, the real backer of the movie, the real co-producer of the movie, Meyer Tepper, according to the film biography in the press kit, he made his money in fashion and by getting the Haagen-Dazs franchise in California.
Right.
So
right.
how did he react to how the businessmen producers were portrayed in your film?
Oh, well, he came in... He came in after Robert De Niro decided to produce it and be in it. And he loved the script, Mayer. Now, I never really discussed with him how he felt about guys that could be like him. But Mayer has very good taste, and he liked the script a great deal. He knew a lot about the movie business. So if anything, he was sort of enchanted by the whole idea of it, the whole scene of these guys. I think he identified with the businessmen, you know, in a nice way.
Your co-writer on this movie, Jonathan Frederick Lawton, is now best known as the writer of Pretty Woman. But
right.
That film wasn't made when you first started working together. So there must have been a big difference between the kind of impact you'd have introducing him at a pitch meeting before and after
right,
Pretty Woman.
Right, exactly. No, John had just come out of school and had written some interesting scripts. And he was very good in structure, and I wasn't as good in structure. So when I, decided to write Mistress, I thought it would be a great idea to work with John on that, and he was very good with the structure. And Pretty Woman came, I think, maybe 4 or 5 years later. John showed me a script called 3000. He gave it to me on my birthday, and he said, there's a great role in here for you, and maybe you want to direct it too. Maybe we can get $300,000 somewhere, and you could direct this. And I couldn't raise $300,000 at that point. And so his agent gave it to Disney as a writing sample, and the rest is sort of history. They turned this very serious anti-capitalistic piece.
Oh, is that what it was?
Sure, with a very heavy ending about a prostitute who's ruined her life because she's fallen in love and can never go back to living the way she lived before, and also has understood the good life for a few days, living with a man who had money and all that. And at the end, he rejects her, and she's left alone on a street and very brokenhearted and tragic. And it was a very strong comment, I think, on John's feelings about, materialism and a lot of other things about parts of capitalism that don't work. And they turned this script into a comedy. And of course, when John told me that, he came to my house and told me the whole story, I just sat there, dumb face. I said, I can't believe this. I said, yeah, you should see who they want to cast. And he gave me all these different names. I said, I can't believe this. And that's the story.
My guest is Barry Primus. He co-wrote and directed the new film Mistress. He's also an actor. More after the short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is filmmaker and actor Barry Primus. Your new film Mistress is the first film to be produced by Robert De Niro's company, Tribeca.
Right, Tribeca. Well, there was Thunderheart, but that came out first, but it was made and produced after our film. That's correct.
How did Robert De Niro end up producing your new film, Mistress?
Well, he always liked the movie a great deal. And when I first wrote a treatment, I told him all about it, and he encouraged me to make a film. And he had been a friend of mine for many, many years. We'd known each other. We'd acted together over 20 years. We'd been friends. And during... For about 3 or 4 years, Bobby would go around and give it to people. He would have meetings with people about other projects. He said, hey, listen, there's a friend of mine wrote this movie. Why don't you read it? It's very interesting. It's funny and this and that. But nobody would do it. And finally one day he said, well, what's going on with that script? I said, well, I'm still struggling with it. He said, it should be made. He said, I'm going to start a company in a couple of years, and if you haven't made it by then, I will make that film. I'm going to have to produce it. He said, I don't know anything about producing, but I'll have to produce it, and I'll have to be in it. I'll have to put my money where my mouth is. And that's how it finally came about.
Is it incredibly stressful to have Robert De Niro's big investment on your shoulders?
Well, you mean that he had produced it and he was in it?
And I mean, he needs this to be a success for his company as much as you need this to be a success for yourself.
Well, in the beginning... when Bobby first said he'd do it, I said, well, maybe we should decide later whether we should put your name on the film or not as the producer. Maybe we should just do it and see how you feel about it, And a while went by, and then he said, no, I want to put my name on it, regardless of whatever. First of all, it won't be easy to get the money unless I guarantee that. And I want to do it. I'm going to go for it, you know. I wanted it to be good for everybody who had gone out on the line for me, whether it was Mayor Tepper who was putting up money, whether it was the actors who were working for a fraction of what their salaries were, and certainly for Bobby, who had really gone out on the limb for me, because there were people all around him who had said to him that this is not the way to begin a company, not to do a film with somebody who was unproven, not to do a film that was small and not on the appearance, not very commercial. And I thought, well, here I've spent all this time trying to convince people to make this film. God, I said to my wife one night in the kitchen just before we shot it, I said, God, I hope this thing works out all right, you know.
Yeah, so, I can imagine. Now, you're an actor, right. Yet you didn't give yourself even a cameo in the film.
Well, I did, but I cut myself out.
Oh.
My wife had a wonderful role, too, and I cut myself out of it. My daughter is the only one left of our family.
I think perhaps the role you're best known for is the role of Cagney's boyfriend on Cagney and Lacey.
Right, right.
Yeah, because that was a recurring role, so, and a very popular show. So we'd get to see you a lot. Right. How did you like doing episodic television?
Well, I used to love to do that. That show, because it was wonderful writing, and some of the ideas actually started with suggestions of mine, and that's always thrilling when you have input. You know, when you have input to something, you seem to own it better. You know, you're more of a total artist. You have more of a commitment to it. So a few shows were actually written around ideas that I had. There were wonderful writers on it, wonderful actors, and it was a continuing character. And it was a very interesting experience. It was like, you know, you could bring out so many different aspects of the character. So that was fascinating. I enjoyed that year on that show very, very, very much. Episodic television, you know, was shot very quickly. It's a great challenge. And sometimes, you know, when you've done a film, I've done some big films like New York, New York, that I, with Marty Scorsese, where I was on it for 6 or 7 months. An episodic show, you have to shoot sometimes 5 or 6 scenes in a day. And it's really, you know, a workout. And sometimes very good to do. Sometimes, you know, you wish that you could do things over and over again or do this and that. But if you take it for what it is as an actor, you sometimes can do good things with it. Funny, as an actor, you can find interest almost in any character. There's something you can use about yourself in almost any character.
What was your character in New York, New York?
New York, New York, I played Liza Minnelli's, I guess, boyfriend. I played the piano, and kind of a rival of De Niro's in that picture. I played the piano, had always a rose in my...
I didn't recognize you in that role.
Yeah, well, I'm blonde in that picture.
So now that you've finished writing and directing your first feature film, do you want to do it again?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. The scripts that I've all written have come out of very strong personal experiences, so... I'm not sure which one of the stories that I have in mind is going to sort of surface and become a script in a movie, but I'm thinking about it. And I've also had some people ask me about directing some films now.
Barry Primus co-wrote and directed the new movie, Mistress.